Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
To those who thought my financial background would mean I had some magic bullet in my holster to balance the budget, I'm sorry to disappoint you. My answer is as simple as old-fashioned arithmetic. We can't keep spending more than we take in. The solution is simple. Stop. We must, and we can.
That, of course, was New Jersey Governor John Corzine speaking during his first budget address as governor yesterday. And while the budgets of cities and states in the region are generally finding their coffers a little fuller this year, New Jersey is bucking the trend. Corzine pronounced a, quote, day of reckoning for the state as he proposed a spate of tax increases and spending cuts to cover rising deficits in the years to come as well as this year. His plan calls for an increase in the sales tax by 1 percentage point. That would make a 7% sales tax. On your purchases, there would be a special tax for services like limousines and even a tattoo tax, a new tax on tattoo parlor services, plus a surcharge on the sale of commercial property, among other things. The budget will increase under this proposal by a total of 10%, or about $3 billion. And analysts and Corzine's action brought one other governor to the minds of some critics, Jim Florio, New Jersey's last chief executive to increase the sales tax. He was voted out of office after his first term. Some critics posting on the NJ.com website even referred to this governor as Florio-zine. So with me now for reaction to the budget are two members of the state legislature, Democrat Bonnie Watson Coleman, Assemblywoman representing the Princeton area, and Leonard Lance, the minority leader of the New Jersey Senate, representing Raritan and Union and vicinity. Senator Lance, welcome back. And Bonnie Watson Coleman, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. Good morning, Brian.
Assemblywoman, let's start with you. As a Democrat, first, how do you respond to the budget proposal overall, and in particular to the criticism of the proposed tax increases?
Well, I think the governor gave an honest assessment and a straightforward conversation about the state of affairs of New Jersey. I thought that his budget presentation set the proper and appropriate tone. This is very serious business. I think he signals the end of what we've seen happen with both parties in responsible and leadership roles doing over the last several decades. And Governor Kane is signaling an end to that we've got to cut more than we tax, and we've got to spend less than we are raising. And I believe that his budget...
Maybe a little Freudian slip there. I'm sure you meant Governor Corzine and not Governor Kane, right?
Governor Corzine, I'm sorry. Yes, I do.
And certainly, it is certainly
Governor Corzine and Governor Kane.
And certainly, you didn't mean Senator Kane, but that's another. Yes,
both of them have had proposals to increase the sales tax, and you know, both of them gone on very successful and respectful careers. But I think that this is a very serious budget. It's a budget proposal. The governor has finished his hard work. Now the legislative bodies, the Senate and the Assembly, both caucuses get to do their hard work, look for more savings, look for more alternatives, and look for more scrubbing.
Senator Lance, your initial reactions.
I was disappointed that the governor chose to indicate that he would like to raise the sales tax because, Brian, I think that will hurt middle-income residents of the state, and also because there was no increase in aid for school districts throughout New Jersey. Our most pressing problem in this state, which is unbelievably high property taxes, will only be exacerbated. I agree with my friend and colleague, Assemblywoman Watson Coleman, the majority leader in the General Assembly, that this is a beginning point, and I believe the legislature, on a bipartisan basis in both houses of the legislature, will examine what we would like to see occur. And when the budget document is signed into law in late June, I am not sure that a sales tax increase will be included.
Let me play another clip of the governor from the budget address, and this is what he had to say about the impact of a sales tax increase on the average New Jersey household.
Sales tax extensions and increase I have proposed will retain the exclusion on groceries and clothing. But to put the new tax in perspective, the added burden will cost the average New Jersey household That is, with a median income of about $84,000, with a family of four, about $5 a week, or about $260 a year.
So, Senator Lance, that's about $260 a year on that median household income, which is about $88,000. So is that not a reasonable exchange for staving off further cuts in state services?
I believe that the cost for average New Jerseyans will be higher than that. And based upon my arithmetic, there are 8.7 million New Jerseyans, and the increase in the sales tax is likely to generate $1.4 billion. And if you do simple division, that's $160 per person in New Jersey. The average family has a husband and a wife and two children. And so that would be roughly $600 in increase. And perhaps my figures are imprecise, Brian, but if you are making in New Jersey in a family income with two hardworking adults in the workforce, maybe $120,000, which is certainly a middle-class income in this state, it will be significantly higher than the governor suggests.
We can take phone calls, of course, from New Jersey listeners. How do you react to Governor Corzine's first budget address, this very sober speech? You know, I think of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. When it was over, nobody applauded, legend has it. And Lincoln thought it was a flop. Well, there were very few outbursts of applause during this speech, but was it because was it because Governor Corzine made them all speechless in a similar way? I think time will tell. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Your reactions to any of the proposals from the governor for spending levels, for cuts to particular programs, for his tax increases, 212-433-WNYC, as we continue with Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson-Coleman, Democrat, and State Senator Leonard Lance, Republican, 212-433-9692. Assemblywoman, let me get your reaction to some of the cuts. For example, the one that seems to be getting the most press this morning, $169 million to be taken from state colleges and universities. What's your reaction to that initially?
Well, my reaction to that is that the higher education sector is really important to the state of New Jersey and provides a tremendous service and a good education. I think that's a stiff cut, and I think that that's one of the governor's proposals that we'll be looking at very carefully to see where we can mitigate the pain of some of that that cut. But like I said, this is the beginning of our process. This is the third week in March. We've got until the end of June to do this. This, along with some of his other proposals, all the other proposals, will be looked at very carefully. You know, we're looking very much to have feedback from the public. Assembly Dems have been looking at this budget, and the Assembly Budget Committee has been looking at this budget for the last couple of weeks, or looking at his proposals, looking at spending in the various departments. We even have a website that we're welcoming comments and suggestions from everyday New Jerseyans about how to tackle some of these problems. They can go right to our website, which is www.newjerseybudgetcuts.com. We've already been given several recommendations, some of which are valid and some of which are, you know what, everybody go home, take no salary, give up your car, give up whatever, and then we'll save money. But there are some real good recommendations coming through that we will be looking into. Nobody wants to raise any kind of tax. Everyone recognizes the burden of property taxes and taxation on citizens in the state of New Jersey. We do have to grapple with these issues and look very, very carefully at what we can continue to cut, what we can look for greater efficiency.
So let me see if I understand something, because it sounded like Senator Lance was complaining about the tax increase as being unnecessary. It sounds like your first reaction to the one budget cut that I mentioned to the state colleges and universities is negative, and I could go down some of the other things, cuts to the state workforce, including layoffs, cuts in grants to museums and other arts institutions. So are we going to hear proposals from you and other Democrats for greater tax increases to stave off as much of these budget cuts?
You will hear the results of our looking at this budget item by item, just like the governor looked at it. Our proposals and responses to those issues, our recommendations for where we think alternative approaches can be taken. This is our responsibility now, and we take it very seriously. Both houses and both parties will work together. We will work in a bipartisan fashion, as Senator Lance has said. We will look to return to the governor's consideration what we believe to be our response to meeting the needs of New Jerseyans, mm-hmm. making sure that the pain that must exist is fairly applied.
So you're going to study it and then come
Absolutely.
Up with your own proposal.
That is our responsibility.
Okay. Senator Lance, one of the other proposals is, as I understand it, to freeze aid to localities in the state, to pretty much keep it at last year's level, which some people are saying, due to inflation, is going to mean an increase in property taxes, of all things, at the local level just to keep up. What's your reaction?
The levels of aid to education in New Jersey, those levels have been frozen for 5 years, and this will be a continuation of that. And that has meant, Brian, that in the last half decade, property taxes have risen 30% in New Jersey. We now have the highest property taxes in the nation. And undoubtedly, a freeze in that program, a continuation of the current freeze, will mean that property taxes will rise again this year. I estimate that the increase this year will be between 7 and 8%, and that is on top of the 30% increase over the last 5 years. This is a very serious situation, and I can be asked quite appropriately what I would do. And I think we need property tax reform at a systemic level. The governor did not address that yesterday, and I hope that he addresses that as soon as possible. And certainly one way to proceed in that regard would be to have a constitutional convention that can address the property tax issue. If that convention has the ability to look at revenues and spending and not just revenues. And so I hope that the governor will discuss this issue with the legislature and with the public as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, that did not occur yesterday. Obviously, you can't do all things in one speech, but I hope that the governor addresses that most fundamental issue as soon as possible.
I generally don't disagree with my learned colleague here, but it was a fleeting remark, Senator Lance, but the governor did acknowledge that we needed to look at the issue of property tax reformation and that that should be our next major order of business in New Jersey, and that he assured us in his speech, actually, that it will be his priority once the state budget is brought into balance. I agree with you. We need structural reform. We need substantive reform. I am a supporter of the Constitutional Convention also, and I'm comfortable that the governor is moving in that direction. I'm comfortable that he's moving in the direction of looking at property tax reform and that he did acknowledge it, although fleetingly, in his budget address. And I agree with you that you can't cover everything in that address, but he did happen to mention that. And I'm glad that he did, because I think that the citizens of the state of New Jersey needed to hear that his attention is not just in the immediate, but on the future of New Jersey also.
We'll take a one-minute break. We'll continue in a minute. We'll start taking your phone calls for State Senator Leonard Lance and Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. Your reactions to Governor Corzine's budget proposals for the state of New Jersey, which is in a state of long-term debt. Stay with us.
I must say Governor Cody was on target when in November he jokingly said, quote unquote, "My transition report can be summed up simply. The state's pretty much broke." Today, more than in November, I realize he was pretty much right.
Again, Governor Corzine from his first budget address. yesterday, and we're getting reactions from Leonard Lance, the Senate Minority Leader representing Raritan and Union, and Bonnie Watson Coleman, Assemblywoman Democrat representing Princeton. Of course, Democrats are in control of both houses of the legislature, so this is probably going to be a discussion largely between Democrats and the Democratic governor with respect to what's actually going to be in the final version of the budget. But let's take a phone call. Jim in Rutherford. You're on WNYC. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Brian. I called in when we were talking about Governor Corzine running, and I said he never voted for a tax cut when he was a senator. How do you the people of New Jersey think he's going to balance this budget without raising taxes as the governor? And he lied to us. He's a financial expert. He knew then, and he told us, oh, we're not going to raise taxes. He lied to us.
So you think he knew all along pretty much the size of the deficit and pulled the wool over the eyes of New Jersey voters by saying he wouldn't raise taxes or would only do that as a last resort?
Right. And every citizen of New Jersey knows when you have a $5 billion deficit, the only way they're going to do it is raise taxes. They're not going to cut anything. You heard it from the two speakers right now, especially the Democrat. Oh, she don't want to cut anything, but she's looking for other taxes to raise.
Right. Now, you know what, Jim? Stay there, and I'm going to play a clip of Governor Corzine addressing some of this in the speech yesterday. And he went back on, he said two, I guess I'd call it three, campaign promises. To make a full payment this year to the state's pension system. That was one. To offer as much as he had promised in property tax rebates. And he also said he would only raise taxes as a last resort and had no particular plan during the campaign to do so. So did something change? Here's what the governor said.
But after the last 2 months, I'll be the first to acknowledge that some things will have to wait. In this case, while I recommend that we increase existing rebates 10%, we will have to put off the restoration of the rebate cuts made last year.
All right. So there he's not explaining why. He's just saying that he has to do it. So, Assemblywoman, what about that? Could he not have understood the extent of the deficit and debt problem just a couple of months ago during the campaign?
Well, first of all, let me just say that to Jim, thanks for calling in. If I've been indicated in any way, shape, or form that I'm looking forward to more taxation, then I've obviously failed at communicating to you this morning. That is the last resort for any of us, be we Republican or Democrat. New Jersey, the legislature is not looking for greater taxation. Number two is no one understood the magnitude of the budget deficit when they are a candidate. You have some assumptions, you have some understanding. The governor was careful in his candidacy never to take a no tax increase pledge, but to say that I will do this at the last resort. You have to govern responsibly. I think, Jim, we also need to know that more than 50 cents on every dollar of this state budget goes back to municipalities and school districts, or in some way, shape, or form supports your life in the community. And that over 75% of this budget, or 73% of this budget, is mandated spending, whether it is spending mandated by the Supreme Court or mandated by federal government. It's not discretionary spending. But where there is discretionary spending, the governor's budget proposal sought to cut that by $1.2 billion. That's a significant cut in discretionary spending. So we have a lot more work to do. We're looking more to save rather than spend. We're looking more to grow efficiencies rather than taxes. Mm. And that is what this legislature will be doing in the next 2 months.
Jim, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I think the lady is a little misleading. If she thinks Governor Corzine, who spent $100 million to run for senator and governor, didn't know the deficit that this state had, she's got her eyes closed, because nobody who makes that much money can look at a budget and say that they didn't know what the deficit was in this state and how it had to be taken care of. And taxes is a path But I think maybe let's cut 25% of all the appointed the governor's appointees to the government right now, and that'll show that he's a leader instead of a taxer like all the other Democrats.
Jim, thank you for your call. And Assemblywoman, just to push his point one step further, mm-hmm. could the governor really have not known? Could he have been saying last resort on the campaign trail and not really known what the numbers are, so that it became one of his first resorts in his first budget address?
Well, first of all, Brian, no one knows the exact number of the deficit. 7, 8, 9 months before all of our revenues come in. We're still looking for revenues to come in. At the end of the day, April's revenues are going to be more important. They're going to show us even more about the relationship between revenues and needed expenditures. So the governor or no one else knows exactly. He knew that there is a serious structural deficit. He spoke to that during his candidacy. He also said that I will not take a no-tax pledge, but I will look to cut where I can. His proposal to cut thousands of unclassified so-called political appointments, he's already well on his way in cutting those. So he's taking the advice of Jim from Rutherford.
And Senator, briefly before I go on to another call, do you go as far as Jim and say the governor was being intentionally disingenuous during the campaign?
I believe that anybody who runs for governor of New Jersey should have known the extent of our problems in this state, and I agree with the general sentiment of Jim. And I have stated repeatedly, as the minority leader in the state Senate, that our budget difficulties are enormous, and I believe that the public grows weary of candidates who say or at least imply one thing in a campaign and then do something else once in office. And now we have to work together, and I would hope, Brian, to advocate for the general sentiment of Jim that we should examine further spending cuts. And let me repeat, I do not believe there will be Republican support for increasing the sales tax.
Okay, we're getting reaction to Governor Corzine's budget proposals from Republican Senator Leonard Lance, the minority leader from Raritan and Union, and Democratic Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson Coleman from the Princeton area, and Judy in Scotch Plains here on WNYC. Hello, Judy.
Good morning, Brian. I applaud the governor for making the difference in solving this state's problems. But I would like to see some combination of the smaller communities in terms of police and school budgets. I think this would go a long way in reducing our property taxes. What do you think?
Senator?
I believe the caller is suggesting that we consolidate school districts. Is that the yes. sentiment of the caller?
Yes.
I believe in voluntary cooperation and the sharing of services. But New Jersey tends to be a state where it would be difficult to mandate that we consolidate districts, although I have been involved in the past in legislation with Assemblywoman Watson Coleman's colleague, now Speaker of the Assembly, Joe Roberts of Camden County, to encourage through financial incentives cooperation and indeed consolidation. And I think we should move that process forward. But I don't think the legislature on either side would likely require consolidation, but certainly I think the caller is moving in the right direction, that we have to have more cooperation and incentives financially in the legislature to achieve that result.
Judy, thank you for your call.
Brian, I'd like to weigh in on that, if I might.
Briefly on this, Assemblywoman.
Yeah, okay. I think with 611 school districts of 17 and 537 municipalities, New Jersey is overburdened by taxing entities. And I agree with the caller that we need to encourage consolidation of both municipalities and school districts. While New Jersey has a strong home rule history, I think that we do have to look at not only incentives for consolidation and savings, but we have to look at the stick also in encouraging more of that in New Jersey. Because at the end of the day, fewer municipalities, fewer school districts, fewer taxable entities will reap a better result for the taxpayer
in
the state of New Jersey.
Alex in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of notes. Last week there were school budget discussions in Montclair, and this year usually we have about 6% increase, which really overburdens the population of the town. On top of that, we have reduction of the state aid to our school system, and we have about 1,100, 15% of special ed students that cost a lot to educate. And at the same time, the increases in state taxes, that's really kind of too much. And one more thing that I would like to mention, that in Montclair, for example, the average household is being taxed at about $15,000 a year. And on our state returns, state tax returns, we're allowed to deduct only $10,000 of real estate taxes.
So, Alex, what would you have had the governor do differently in his budget proposal?
What I would look, and that came out at our discussions, that the largest percent of the state budget goes to salaries and benefits of the state employees. And same as in Montclair, they do not participate in a lot of, they do not participate in sharing their health care costs, and they have pensions, which we in the industry do not have. We have 401k. So maybe that's
mm-hmm.
They have more benefits than we have, people who actually...
Alex, I'm going to leave it there and get some reaction. I thank you very much for the call. And Assemblywoman, there is some of that in the budget proposal. Some state workers would have to pay co-pays toward their health insurance for the first...
cost of their health benefits. There are some pension reformation savings that are proposed. There's a whole pension study done under the Cody administration that both the legislature and I suspect this administration will be looking at to see where greater savings can be made. Some of this has to be negotiated because it is involved with union contracts. Some
and there would be about 1,000...
to people
right.
coming on board after a certain point, not those who are already vested in the system, but there are...
Well, Assemblywoman, let me jump, let me follow up and ask you, this, you know that exact kind of proposal caused a transit strike in New York City just a few months ago, and I wonder if you, as a member of the Assembly, support those kind of two-tier program, if that's what it's going to be for newer workers, and do you support having unionized state workers contribute to their health insurance, and do you think this is going to cause major labor unrest?
Well, I'll tell you, we're really early in the process of reviewing this. I know that there have to be changes made. I think that state employees, on by and large, and public employees by and large, work very hard for their benefits, pension and health benefits, that they are not exorbitant. There are some abuses. I think we need to get at the abuse of the system.
But should they have to contribute a copay? Do you support that proposal from the governor?
I think that's a possibility on the horizon, and under the right circumstances, I think that we may see that proposal, at which time we'll have to entertain it.
And Senator Lance, you've said that the Republican caucuses will probably not support an increase in the sales tax. So Governor Corzine has challenged anyone who takes that position to say, what would you cut in addition to what he proposed cutting in order to balance the budget a different way?
I agree with what Alex has said. I think ultimately that the benefits in the public sector have to match the benefits that exist in the private sector, because it is the private sector by and large who pay the bills. And I believe that we have to go to a massive reform of our pension structure in New Jersey for public employees. And there was a report that was authored by appointees of Governor Cody, and I think the legislature should take it to heart. And the concerns of Alex are concerns that I hear across New Jersey, and the concerns of Alex regarding property taxes are concerns I hear across New Jersey. And, Brian, we have school board elections in New Jersey in April. We're the only state that have those elections at such an inconvenient time for the public. I have long supported having school board elections in November. There has been no action in that regard, and that would be another fundamental reform, along with fundamental pension reform, that I believe would be large ticket items in how to reform the state budget.
We have a few minutes left with Senator Leonard Lance and Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson Coleman reacting to Governor Corzine's budget proposals on WNYC, and Cindy in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I moved to Bloomfield because the taxes were not too high, the schools were not too bad, and it was pretty much an affordable place to be. I've only been here for 2 years, and I have kids ranging from 5 years old to 17 years old. Now, kindergarten is only half day because we don't have in the budget to have a full day, and mine that's going to college is going to end up paying more under these new cuts, and my property taxes went up twice. So I see that there are people in the neighborhood getting squeezed out because they lived here already for those reasons. They can't afford the taxes, so they're starting to move, and they're trying to make this one-time deal on their house and get the heck out of here. But where do they go after this?
Cindy, what would your alternative budget be? I understand you don't want the cuts to lower or higher education. Would you have the governor and the legislature impose more taxes?
Well, you know what? The sad thing is that I've always been for more taxes where for people who can afford them, and I still am. This is the first time that I really feel kind of gypped by a Democrat.
You think the state's taxation is not progressive enough?
I don't think it's progressive enough, and I do think that he said this morning about how we couldn't have a magic bullet, we shouldn't expect it. Well, he portrayed himself as having that magic bullet. And I don't know enough to say what he should do, but I think certainly reforming pension, and I think a lot of the, along the lines of streamlining paperwork process for government and all kinds of pensions and school things, everything that we do four sheets mm-hmm. of paper for one thing. And I think luxury items could be taxed. I don't have a problem with the alcohol and tobacco. Not that I don't buy them, but nonetheless, I think there could be a cap on clothing taxes, maybe no tax up to a certain
right.
point. And then, you know, there are a lot of different little things. But going directly to the schools and to the property taxes, this is our life. You can't do that.
Cindy, thank you for your call. We have 1 minute left, and I want to ask you both a political question. The governor did kind of go after Jim McGreevy in this speech and said that budget gimmicks of the last 4 years were part of what got us into this mess. Very briefly, 20 seconds each, Assemblywoman, how do you react to that? And if McGreevy is to blame, isn't the legislature also to blame?
I think that both parties over the years, more than beyond Jim McGreevy, have tended to look to get through a budget and to look toward tomorrow to pay for something that needed to be addressed today. I don't believe anybody, any governor, nor any party has a lock on that.
And
I
Senator,
that
if,
is ending with John Corzine.
And Senator, Democrats long said that Governor Whitman was a borrow-and-spend governor. Does she take part of the blame?
Governor Whitman should not have engaged in the pension bond issue in 1997. I voted against that and was punished by my own party for it. But I think our fundamental problems are based upon one-party government in the last 4 years. I think the governor was right in his criticism yesterday. And in order to be successful, he will need bipartisan
right.
support and bipartisan input into this budget process.
And I have
and
to
I
leave it there.
Him to do that.
Leonard Lance, the minority leader of the New Jersey Senate from Raritan and Union. Bonnie Watson Coleman, Democratic Assemblywoman representing the Princeton area. Thank you so much for having this conversation.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Brian.
John Patrick Shanley, the playwright, next.